Hey, welcome to Spartan Podcast. We're here in Boston. Being in Boston, we have a huge bonus I'm going to tell you about in just a second. But first, I want to tell you about Robert Herbst. Robert Herbst, incredible interview. This guy, he is a 30-time national powerlifting champion, 22-time world champion, born supposed to be anything but, and you'll find out why. His story is unbelievably inspiring. Speaking of inspiring people, we got Brian Lynch. Brian's a very good friend of Joe's. This is what happens when you hang out with Joe. He popped in to say, hey, and Joe said, awesome, you're on the podcast. He's a frequent visitor of Vermont. He's been through the toughest stuff there, and he's a great guy. Speaking of great guys, Tim Nye.
Oh, nice. Thank
speaking
you.
Of people who've been through a lot, Sephra.
I love
and
it.
And Marion, who we don't get to see enough of. I'm Dr. Johnny. Let's go and see what Robert Herbst has to tell us.
We are here for Spartan Up Podcast. On the corner in New York City with Robert Herbst. I probably didn't say it right.
It's good enough.
German-Austrian, had some tough struggles growing up, but now is a lawyer, champion, weightlifter, all-around, hardworking maniac.
I mean, I wouldn't characterize it as tough struggles because to me, frankly, they were just there.
Well, let's go way back.
Let's
go way back. You diagnosed with scoliosis at a young age.
Yeah, at a very young age. I grew up in Ohio,
right.
And at a very young age, I developed apparently scoliosis. I have one hip that's higher than the other. If you look at me straight on, I kind of corkscrew around. I mean, to take a step back, I went to a lacrosse camp when I was 15, and they had all these All-Americans walking around. I said, well, how do I improve my shot? And they said, well, lift weights. You know, build up your forearms. And I was also like 110 pounds. I was getting creamed by people. So how do I get bigger? Lift weights. So I bought the York barbell 110-pound set, you know, the old traditional barbell, and I started lifting. And, you know, my back hurt. And, you know, my parents took me to the doctor because I was always like walking around like this. And the doctors said, don't lift anything ever. And I said, well, that's not really how I want to go through life. And I also said to myself, what if I encased my back in muscle, you know, and took all the pressure off my spine? So as opposed to never lifting heavy weights off the ground again, I started lifting heavy weights off the ground and other ways. And to fast forward, became a competitive power lifter and, you know, have deadlifted, in, you know, 500 pounds in competition. Last night I did 325 with 40 pounds of chains on the bar because as you come up, the chains low to make the bar heavier.
Sure.
This was a Monday, by the way, after work, you know, so I'm still doing it. Competitively, it's been great because, you know, instead of just going to the gym, if you just go to the gym 3 days a week, you know, and I see so many people, they start, they peter out. Instead, it gave me goals. It gave me something to lift more weight.
What I'm really interested in is that moment where doctors are telling you don't lift and you're saying screw that,
right?
Because most people in life, the audience out there, they get stuck listening to the experts.
Right. Well, right? Not to poo-poo, not, you know, disclaimer, you should listen to your doctor. They're smart guys. But over the years in fitness and sports, I've had so many doctors tell me, both professionally and socially, doctors I know, you know, friends, they say, you guys are so far ahead of us, meaning athletes, athletes at the world-class level. And it's not anything on nutrition, on stretching, on exercise. Many doctors are conservative. They'll tell you, you know, they have to take the conservative course because they're afraid of getting sued.
Right.
Also, many doctors, frankly, are not as well-informed as people who are in the trenches and doing it. So, yes, you should listen to your doctor, but with a grain of salt. I mean, I'll tell you right now that through years and years of wrestling and bench pressing, there's New York City's strongest going by. That's what they call the sanitation department here.
New York City's strongest.
New York City's strongest. The finest are the cops, the bravest are the firemen, so the strongest are the sanitation.
Love it.
Right now, I've got a torn labrum and some bone spurs and other things in my shoulder. And the doctor won't operate because I'm, quote, too old. But she doesn't want me to do a shoulder replacement because I'm, quote, too active. And she told me, basically, to come to her when either the pain became unbearable or in 10 years, whichever sooner. And then she'd, like, put in a replacement. And I've talked to guys about a replacement. They say there's no pain, but they can't do anything. And I got this diagnosis back in February of this year. And it was kind of a coincidence. I have a son who plays hockey in college, and he's going to hate it if he reads this or hears this. And he had shoulder surgery because he tore his labrum. He's a goalie, and he was reaching out for a save. And I was talking to the doctor while he was in the recovery room, and I started going like this, I'm like this. So bottom line is, she told me basically either tough it out or tap out. And since then, in February, I've ramped up my shoulder work. I mean, it hurts, it's whatever, but what I've decided is if this joint is so compromised, I'm going to get all sorts of muscle to support it. And I told her what I was going to do. I told her I'm doing all these things. Notice I'm demonstrating with the good arm. I'm doing all these things, but I started adding lots of weight. You know, I mean, you know, I've been doing shoulder raises with 35 pounds. I did those Sunday, you know, and front raises and all that. And it hurts, but it's a lot more functional. And I figured much better to have like a deltoid that looks more like that. I wish it looked like that. Show him his kettlebell. Yeah. Do you have a name for that, by the way?
This is Leo.
Leo,
he wants a shoulder that looks like that.
One on each side. Cannonball delts. That's what I, you know, like the old strongman. That's what I want. So, you know, I told her what I was doing. I made an informed decision. She's not telling me not to.
Right.
Because, well, you know, how...
So doctors in general, are, and most professionals, you're a lawyer.
I'm a lawyer.
Most professionals are afraid of risk, right? And so you're always going to suggest to people to avoid risk.
Right. Yeah.
Right?
Although, interestingly, I've been an in-house counsel and a general counsel. So as opposed to the outside counsel, you know, who have to give you the conservative course because they're afraid they're going to get sued, I tell my client, my CEO, you know, this is what you can do. These are the potential risks. And we push things, not to illegality, but there's lots of gray and there's lots of ways of accomplishing things.
Right.
So perhaps I've got a more risk-oriented attitude. And
sure.
It's not like I'm a maniac. I mean, I was a, you know, a student in college. I went to law school. On the other hand, you know, I've climbed mountains in Nepal.
But you understand,
you know,
reality.
I've done such a risk. Yeah, I mean... I did it smartly when I'm climbing mountains in Nepal.
Sure.
You know, but,
well,
but
why don't
try to reduce risk, but you push risk.
Let's go lift those flower pots for some exercise for a few minutes,
all
and
right.
Then we'll come back for the second
okay.
half of the episode.
Great, I'm ready.
Want to do it?
Yep.
Hey guys, this is Joe DI with today's Spartan SGX fitness tip. Did you know that caffeine, the world's most consumed drug, is actually good for half the population and not so good for the other half? So if caffeine makes you jittery or anxious, avoid it. And if you feel focused and energized, keep drinking up to 3 cups a day. Aru.
We are back. Those are some damn heavy flower pots.
They remind me of the Atlas stones in the World's Strongest Man. They're hard to.
Well, you have a lot of championships, right? You've competed competitively in
powerlifting. Yeah, I'm an 18-time world champion, a 30-time U.S. national champion. I have an active streak of 21 consecutive national championships, which it's been very hard to keep going. For example, 3 years ago I had elbow surgery to take out some bone spurs. And by the way, fitness and health is great. I'm not falling apart. I want your readers to understand. I'm not falling apart, but sports injuries occur. I mean, just look at any football broadcast or baseball broadcast and someone's out with a hamstring and whatever, and they're all 30 years younger than me and have great training room. But I, you know, when my elbow was healing, scar tissue formed around my ulnar nerve and I lost a lot of the use of my hand.
But that didn't stop you.
Well, they had to do a second operation, eight weeks later, where they moved the nerve and then they wouldn't let me do anything. And finally, in March of that year, they allowed me to start lifting again, and the Nationals were the first week of July. I was lucky. They're usually in June. They were in July. And I told everybody what I was going to do, and a friend of mine who was an athletic trainer, he was the most polite. He said it was aggressive. And the first day, I went to deadlift, and I was trying to lift 185 pounds, which is nothing. I was trying to do, and I couldn't do it more than 4 or 5 reps. And I thought to myself, oh, my God, this is going to be
tough.
Interesting. But I was committed. I said to everybody, if my streak of national championships is going to end, it's going to end out on the platform. It's not going to end with me on the couch. And I trained and trained and flew out to, I think it was in Quincy, Illinois, and competed. And I had like a claw of a hand, which I kind of put around the bar because like two of the fingers were working, but the other two weren't. And, you know, and I squatted and I benched and coked and won. And
nice. Now congratulations.
Keeping it together.
But talk so there's a common theme here, because this is what the viewers and listeners will take away, which is you make a commitment to yourself at a young age, and you just abide by it.
I make it an irrevocable commitment. I mean, they're so... I mean, I'm a lot like your viewers or the people that run in Spartan races. I mean, I have a white-collar day job. And it's really easy to not do anything beyond that. I mean, it's... so comfortable to come home at the end of the day and not
traffic,
do something.
By the time you get home, whatever. Get dinner and go
I
to
mean,
bed.
But I make it an irrevocable commitment to myself.
When did you start doing that in your life?
I don't know if it was a conscious decision, but it's almost like anything. The more you do something, it becomes a habit. I mean, for instance, I was in college and I was working very hard and I was studying. Full disclosure, you can look it up. I, you know, tied for first in my class and was in Phi Beta Kappa. So obviously I spent a lot of time in the library.
Love it.
You know, but I also spent a lot of time in the gym. Basically, my view is if something's worth doing, it's worth doing it right. And also with physical activity, that in itself becomes almost a loop. Because if you engage in physical fitness enough, when you don't do it, your body wants to do it. I mean, if you sit around like 2 days in a row, you know, you start to get antsy. If you're on a long plane flight,
sure.
You know,
sure.
If you're on a, you know, you want to get out and do something. You know, it's been pouring for 3 days. You want to go out and walk the dog at least. Run.
People how they could make that commitment to themselves. Like how?
Well, you know, I kind of made it osmotically because it's just in my nature. But it's like anything else. I mean, at work, you know, if you have a deadline, a report, you get it done. So you set the deadline for yourself. For example, you know, I have a powerlifting competition coming up in 3 months. I'll train for it. I mean, it's an individual sport, just like Spartan is. I mean, you can't blame your performance, you know, in a Spartan race
on your teammates.
You know, no one threw the pass over your head, or you know, right. Or you know, the sun was in your eyes, or you know, we ran out of time, the defense couldn't hold them. You know, you're entering a Spartan race. You're entering a Spartan race in like 3 months. You know, there's gonna be like people passing you, right. Or you want to do a better time than yourself, or God, this looks like hideous fun, like wading through the mud.
Sure.
I mean, you know, I'll tell you, this past weekend, every Saturday I do farmer's walks, which if people aren't familiar with those, it's carrying of heavy weights, and there's special handles that they make. They can use dumbbells or kettlebells, but I, for instance, this week got up to 200 pounds in each hand. And it's a great exercise for strength and power. And some of the local high school wrestlers come over, and we're all in the backyard, and the neighbors and my wife think we're all insane as we're, like, walking through, you know, in 90-degree heat with the sweat going, you know.
Love it.
But this weekend, this Saturday, I got up and did my daily stretching, which I do every day, for my back. That's just a habit.
Because you made that commitment.
I make that commitment. And I joke with my wife that on my last day in the nursing home, I'm going to get up, I'm going to stretch, and I'm going to die.
Right.
But I will have stretched that day. So I did my morning stretching, and then I had my breakfast, and I took some time to digest. I'm sitting there in my bathrobe, and I'm reading the newspaper, and it's a Saturday.
You could have easily just floated
and the dog's
through Saturday.
This dog is a Saturday. And it, especially because it's 35 degrees out.
Right.
It's, you know.
Even the dog doesn't want to go outside.
Well, he likes the cold. He's got a he hates the, but right. That's, but anyway. And the clock struck the hour, you know, and I knew it was going to be bad. Can we say suck on this show?
Say
you know,
suck.
I knew it was going to, you know, I've done this before. I knew holding 200 pounds in your hands is not comfortable. I know being out in shorts in 30-something degree weather with the wind blowing is not comfortable. One of the reasons I wear shorts, by the way, is when I lift the weight up, everything drags against my legs. So I found that sweatpants or pants just aren't good.
Right.
So then I'm doing my farmer's walks. And actually the grip kind of impacted the cold kind of impacted my grip because cold weakens your grip. So then I did a longer piece where you go up my driveway, and whoever designed my driveway, the last 10, 15 feet have this lip that goes up. And by the time you get there, you know, the weights are in your hand, they're at an angle, everything's pulling, and you're just trudging up, you're just grinding. And I think to myself, I'm going to have such a reserve of power. You know, I'm going to be so strong. Anybody's got to go against me. And people have seen me. That's snow. I go out there in the snow. I go out there in the rain between sets. I wear a towel around my neck, and I put it over the handles while I, between the sets and while I adjust the weight. That way the handles stay dry. Yeah. You know?
Love it.
And it's, I don't have to do that. I'm a 58-year-old lawyer. I've got three kids and a dog and a mortgage and a wife. You know, I don't have to be doing this. I'm already in the Hall of Fame. Okay, but that was nice. It was a really great evening, and I got a plaque, and all these people said nice things about me. But so what? I'm aiming for the next championship.
So that's what that's the big takeaway here. The big takeaway here is make a commitment to yourself.
An irrevocable commitment. When that hour hit 11, trust me.
Right.
It'd been so nice to stay on the
rain
couch.
Rain or shine, kind of like the old postman
rain
used to
or
say,
snow,
right?
Rain or sleet, or gloom of night. Yeah.
We're going to go out.
But basically, And that's how, you know, I do everything. I mean, I may have mentioned earlier, you know, I climbed mountains in Nepal.
It sounds like everything in life you've attacked that way, whether it was school, climbing mountains in Nepal, attacking the weights. And so that's the big takeaway, I think, for the audience is make the commitment when the clock strikes, whatever time it is.
And you can do it. I'm not 6'4". I'm not, you know, gifted per se.
Right.
I mean, naturally, I guess I have certain strength, and innate strength.
You're German and Austrian, of course you do.
My parents tell me that my grandfather used to own a junkyard in World War II, and that supposedly he lifted like the engine blocks out of the car.
Love it.
So I may have had, you know, an innate proclivity. I mean, I will never be a great celloist. If you gave me a cello and said, practice, 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 I might be like rudimentary.
Right.
I mean, you have to do something you love or you like or you're good at. But Frank, you know, anybody who's joining a Spartan race already likes running. They already like challenging themselves.
Sure, sure.
They already like pushing themselves. And, you know, I mean, I think yours is a great outlet. I mean, for people
fantastic.
Who have like
fantastic.
A day job like me and aren't perhaps, you know, willing or able to push themselves to a world-class level. But even when I tell people who powerlift, you know, or lift weights in the gym, if the best they ever did was 200, and they push themselves and they train and they do 205, they've done better than they've ever done before.
Always pushing. Always pushing.
I mean, I'm fortunate in that my limits were near other people's limits.
Right.
You know, and then I could push beyond, and then they give me like a plaque. You know,
I feel like a wimp right now at my 20 kg kettlebell. I got to up it to like a 40 or a 50 kg.
Yeah.
You were awesome.
I enjoyed it very much.
Grip of steel.
Yeah, and good luck to all the Spartan followers or people. Just keep trying, keep plugging.
I love Robert. He just loves it. I mean, this guy could just keep going and going, and he says, tough it out or tap out, and Joe had to pick up Leo and tap out.
I mean, here's a guy who's picking up a 200-pound dumbbell in each arm, or in the form, you know, and walking around. That's 400 pounds, right?
Yeah.
Walking around in your backyard.
I love it, because then I'll just be better and tougher when
I... just a grip strength, and that guy was... I mean, I'm short, and he looked every bit as short. He looked probably 5'6 or so. I mean, because he's a couple inches shorter than Joe. I'd say 5'5, 5'6. I mean, and here's a guy.
18-time world champion.
Unbelievable.
20-plus time world champion. 30-time U.S. champion.
I mean, just the force of will, right?
Well,
overcoming all obstacles that were placed in his life, of which he said.
Yeah. As Joe said, you know, you've had some struggles. He said, well, it's not exactly struggles, it's just what was there.
Yeah.
But that we've talked before about when people write their stories, and if he let somebody else write his story for him, it would have been, you have scoliosis, you're not very big, you should not be a very physical person. And he didn't buy into that. And he said, no, I'm going to get as strong as I can. And I loved when he talked about how doctors, you know, he didn't denigrate them. He said they're incredibly intelligent, well-educated people. But
they don't know me.
They don't know me. And he said that his doctor would give him all the advice and then say, but you're going to make your decision. And I loved his willingness to write his own story. And I mean, it's a pretty incredible story when you think about it.
You know,
what about Brian Lynch's story?
Well, I really resonated with how he talks about setting goals and having a purpose, because every single time that I talk to Joe, it's always, what race is next? What do you have? And whether it's fitness or your job, You've got to have a goal or a purpose to get you out there and keep you moving, because you're going to wake up one morning, you're not going to want to go to work, you're not going to want to go to the gym, and you just got to be able to have that commitment that you made of, I'm doing this for a reason, and that's going to drag you out on those horrible days.
And that's a perfect segue into his point about having an irrevocable commitment. And when he talks about literally exactly that when the clock goes off at 11, I have committed, I'm going to go and do this in my shorts, running through the snow. And he said, you know, there are a lot of days I don't want to do it, but I've made that commitment. And the idea that when you do follow through on that, when you've created that context for it and you follow through on it, then when you're faced with something really tough, you've got this reserve of strength from the suffering that you've gone through about being willing to do it anyway.
He reminded me of the earlier podcast we had shot with Pete, Blind Pete.
Yeah, sure.
I mean, the same thing. Here's a guy who could have sat on the sidelines, you know, but they both want to be guys who join in and prove that they are every bit as good as you or better at your game.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that whatever it was, the physical limitation that they were given is meaningless to them. They're going to push right past it.
It's funny. I know we've done a lot of great podcasts, and we can start to refer back to other ones a lot. And I was actually going to refer to the idea when he says, hey, there's nothing wrong with going out there and failing. I loved when he said that the 20th championship, I think it was,
right,
and he'd just been coming back from an injury that the surgery hadn't fully healed, and they said, don't even go out there. And he said, hey, I don't mind failing if I fail on the stage, but I'm not failing on the couch.
Right. Right.
And pretty incredible, just the idea about putting yourself out there, taking the risk, and seeing what happens.
I think when Joe tells you to make goals and make commitments, I think he often keeps reiterating the point, do it publicly, right? Because then you're held accountable. Is that something that you've done, and has that helped you?
Yeah, I mean, put it on Facebook, tell your friends, tell your family, and make it specific. So his goal and purpose wasn't to be strong and be physically fit. It was, I'm going to do this race, this event, at this date. Yeah. And there's no, I'll do that tomorrow. If your goal is ambiguous, you can always convince yourself that you're going to get stronger or do better tomorrow. If you've got a race or an event on September 3rd, every day you're getting closer and closer to being able to or being forced to address that.
Yeah, absolutely. Phenomenal. I thought we'd lost our colonel there.
I was just hearing some outside interference I was trying to deal with.
But you know, and then I just love the fact that it's nice to hear about Robert and the way that he inspires the local wrestlers. I think back to like when we're all up in Vermont with Joe, and just that there's other people and other mentors who are inspiring and gathering these kids to be the crazy people that are sweating in the sun and like pushing your primal body to do what it's supposed to do. So it's great to know that there's other people out there. And I love when he says, like, you know, it's really easy in my job to just do my job and come home and I have kids and I don't have to do this. Like, I'm already doing all these things, but like he kind of was like a superhero undercover, you know. I can just imagine him like ripping all that off and run, he's a world champion.
You imagine being one of those young kids? I mean, you're 15, 16, whatever, and there's some 58-year-old guy out there that's just picking up, you know, three times more than you are and running around. And doing
that's mentorship.
Oh,
that's
sure
inspiration. That's
sure
walking your talk. And that's everything that we talk about.
Yeah.
So for all of you guys that are already like committed Spartans and everything, you know, you have a massive ability to inspire kids around you. And it's not hard. You know, you just go talk to the local coaches, go talk to something. Say you want to do some workouts with kids and do some fun things. And I think in that way, that's how you build community. And that's what Spartan's really all about. Right. And so
you sound like you're bringing us home.
With that, thank you, Brian, for joining in on this.
Good to be here.
Welcome.
Thank you, guys.
Joe, we'll have you back. Joe can go back overseas anytime now.
Yeah, and well, come listen to more podcasts on iTunes or YouTube. And
Spartan.com/podcast.
Spartan.com/podcast. And lift some heavy stuff.
Yes.
Thank you for watching another epic story of success. If you like our message, please share Spartan Up with your friends and subscribe on iTunes, YouTube, or wherever you catch our show, maybe in the woods. Spartan Up is brought to you by Spartan Race. To find a race near you, visit Spartan.com.